Okay. First of all, welcome. Unfortunately, I was not here for the last few days. I was abroad at several weddings of Torah Shvaka students. And I spent Shabbos in YU, which is my old haunting ground many, many years ago. But generally, on Monday night, I say a shir at 6:10 on the Pasha. Usually it's an auditorium, which Baruch Hashem is air conditioning, so I do apologize for the, as I said, the sweltering conditions that exist at this point in time. I generally speak about the Pasha, but lav dafka. And so I want to, this evening, talk about probably the individuals who influenced my life more than anyone else. And there are a fair number of Gedolei Yisrael that I was zochet to have contact with. The Shana Bet students know this story that I'm going to begin with, but it's one of my favorite stories, and I feel I have no choice but to say it over. When I was in high school, at the age of 13, I went to MTA, Yeshiva University High School. So I actually woke up early in the morning, tough for you to believe probably. I was not a bad basketball player. It just goes back many, many decades. So I went up. I got up early in the morning, I'm talking about 4 o'clock in the morning, to go to the yeshiva and to play basketball with my chaver, with my chevra. But I also happen to be a studious fellow and someone who is a diligent, industrious kind of student. And of course, I had all my books with me, and I arrived at the yeshiva around 5:15, 5:30 or so, and I need somewhere to essentially place my books. The place is empty, deserted, with the exception of the gym. I don't know if anyone saw the old gym in YU. I'm not talking about the new one, but the old one, which is a pretty low ceiling, I would say, about this high. I'm not exaggerating. Pshuto kemashmo. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm looking around for someone to take care of my books, because I'm very nervous. I'm a fellow who's, I grew up in New York City, and anyone who goes to New York City, you're always frightened about all kinds of things that might happen. And God forbid someone might steal my physics text, or my chemistry book, or my bio, who knows what. So I'm looking around the building, and I go to the second floor, and I see, looks like a venerable Rav, rabbi, with a fiery red beard, who's sitting and learning. This is at 5:30 in the morning, 5:30 a.m. I don't know who he is. And so I go over to him, and I ask him, will you wash my books for me? In English. He looks at me, and I'm now going to, if you don't mind, imitate him, and he says to me, what is my status? Am I a shemechinom or shemesocha? I don't know what the heck he's talking about. Who's a shemechinom and who's a shemesocha? Who are these people? I never heard of them in my entire life. Did you ever hear of a shemechinom or shemesocha? You probably did, or you're way beyond me. But I never heard of them. I'm 13 years old, for goodness sakes. So I look at him with this puzzled kind of look. And then he says to me, I see you don't understand these concepts. Zetzechavek, in Yiddish, sit down, I will explain it to you. I don't want him to explain it to me. Just take my books and let me play basketball. 1 hour and 15 minutes, he goes through the entire Parsha Mishpatim with me. I wanted to kill him. He's a dazzling. He stole my basketball time. He's annoying me. He's a Ritzal Balechayim. Who knows what else he's violated? I'm saying that he violated all these issues. So this went on until 7 o'clock, and 7 o'clock I got a daven. You might ask, what's the heter to play basketball before davening? I'm sure you'll ask that question. So, there is none. However, I thought, if I limber up, that will help my davening. Isn't that a good svara? A svara from a 13-year-old, Am Ha'aretz, De'oraisa, De'rabonam, a total ignoramus. After that, he said, okay, at 7 o'clock, it looks like I'm going to be a shemechinom. I'm not going to be compensated for watching your books. But I accept upon myself, he accepted upon himself to be a shemechinom. I thought, that's great. Looks like a reliable fellow. I don't know who he is from a hole in the wall. Takes my books. I go to daven. And then, what I planned on doing was after davening, I'll take my books back. But then I said to myself, I'm watching after breakfast. He's walking the halls of MTA. And he has, on one hand, a Gemara, a Rambam, Rishonim. The other hand, he's got my books. I said, this guy's good. He is good. He's good and reliable. Why should I even bother taking my books back from him? I have a better idea. Whatever class I need, I'll take the book from him. I'll go over to him. Could he wait a moment while I pull out that math text or the Gemara, whatever I need, a Chumash, and then he'll continue on his merry way. I know you would not do something like that. You're a very respectable, outstanding, aristocratic, fine gentleman. I was the opposite. So this goes on the whole day. I said, this guy is outstanding. I see him the whole day. He seems to be going from either shir to shir, and he's got my books, holding on to them. And when he's not in shir, he's in the library there. The guy is in the library on the second floor. You seem to be knowing the area. You know, okay. That's the gym. Okay, you Baruch Hashem, you got the right destination very quickly. So did I. Anyway, so this goes on Sunday and Monday. He's great. Great. Anytime I need a book, I go to him, pull out the book. What could be better? What a shomer. What a reliable shomer. I think it was Wednesday of that week. I see another venerable looking rabbi who sees what's happening in the hallway, and he's already white, this rabbi. Totally white, a white angelic looking kind of beard with a long black coat. He comes over to me, calls me over in Yiddish. I happen to grow up in Yiddish, so I know Yiddish quite well. He calls over to me and says, Was tut ihr? What are you doing? So I said to him, Er is mein Shomer. He's the fellow who guards my books. So I think he almost fainted on the spot. He says, Do you know who that is? I said, No. He looks like a very nice fellow. He says, His name is Rabban Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, one of the Gdolei Ador. Wow. One of the Gdolei Ador became my Shomer. So I, in my naivete and my innocence, thought, wow, what an honor to have such a shomer. Such an illustrious shomer. Wouldn't you look at it that way? This other Rosh Yeshiva, whose name was Hagoyim Rav David Lishitz Atzal, did not look at it that way. He thought it was inappropriate. What do you say? Do you think that's inappropriate? To have the Gadol Hador be my shomer? The answer is you think logically, but I unfortunately was not of your caliber at that point in time. So he tells me he can't be your shomer. And I say, why not? Fabos nicht. And he said, he's a Gadol Hador. So I said, so what? He spends a half hour mussing me to death, a lengthy schmooze. And after a while, I realized that I can't be using Rav Aaron Soloveitchik as my shomer. Why exactly, I didn't fully understand. I thought he was totally reliable. That's what I'm looking for. So I take away the svarim from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and I have to schlep the svarim around the whole day. You hear this? The height of chutzpah. I have to schlep my svarim and buy books around the entire day. And I have to let Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that's all. Go scot-free. He's the brother, the younger brother of Rabbi Yossi Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the Rav, the one known as the Rav. So next day, don't give him the books. Then he sees me in the hall a few hours later, and he says to me, What happened? Was I not a good shomer? Did I not guard your books properly? He quotes me a Rambam, which happens to be a Din Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam speaks about Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu took the flock of Laban, it says, He watched it in all conditions. Winter, summer, frigid conditions, sweltering conditions. And the Rambam calls him Shabbat Yaakov Atzadik. And that's the Rambam he quotes to me about Soloveitchik. So I didn't know what to say. I said, he was fine, I said. But that angelic looking rabbi in the long coat and the long white beard told me I can't do it. I fell in love with Rav Aaron Halevi Soloveitchik. I never encountered such a person. One of the Gdolei Ador, who's my shomer. Some 13-year-old runt. No, runt is too good a term. Maybe you can find another term. 13-year-old punk. How's that?
Sounds good.
I heard that he says shiurim that are open to the public. And so, I'm 13 years old. Once a week, he says a hashkafa shiur. He talks about Judaism and different topics. And I skipped that in my regular shiur, which wasn't of much interest to me. And I start going there. And I was so taken by Avraham Soloveitchik, and it became a love affair the rest of his life, literally, till he left Yeshiva Rasi. He went to Chicago to establish a yeshiva called Brisk in Chicago. He's from the Briska tradition, Briska family. But what I saw in the course of all the years I was with him, such a kindness, such a chesed. I was not in a position to measure the kind of Godel Batura that he was. He's one of the Godel Ador, one of the greatest Talmidei Chacham of the generation. But who am I? A 13-year-old ignoramus. Runt. Punk. What do I know about? I don't even know who Shama Chidim and Shama Sachar. But the way he treated me, I was astounded. My love affair with Gedolei Yisrael started before Avraham Soloveitchik. My father was Shalom. Used to take me to see Gedolei Yisrael. He thought it was a good thing to be exposed to Gedolei Yisrael, to great Talmidei Chachamim, and it had a massive impact on my life, no question about it. I had a Rebbe in YU, Hagoyin Nisim Alper Zatzal. He was a Talmud Muvok of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Talmud Muvok, unbelievable how connected he was to Rabbi Moshe. And so many times he took us to see Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Again, I didn't really. I was older already, no longer 13. But still, even when you're 18, 19, 20, you don't necessarily have the full appreciation of what a great giant in Torah is all about. As a matter of fact, there was a period of time in my life when I was in Rabbi Soloveitchik Shia, not Avraham Soloveitchik, but his older brother, Rabbi Yossi Dov, the Rav, when we had an opportunity to get smicha from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. How do you get smicha from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein? You say over shtickel Torah. How do I translate a shtickel Torah? A piece of Torah. A nice kiddush, and he gave smicha. You didn't have to know Yerodeya, no basa v'cholav, no tarobis, a shtickel Torah. Why would he give smicha to a person who said over shtickel Torah? The answer is, he had rachmonis on the generation. He had mercy on us. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, when he gave smicha to us, he's fulfilling the pasuk in Chumash. V'somach es yodo al rosh hapar. That's what he said. You know what the translation of that is? There's a din, when you bring a carbon, you do smicha on the carbon, you play your hands up, place your hands on the carbon. And so after I saw that, she said, that's what he's fulfilling, that pasuk. We were like bullocks to him. Amaratzim. He was a bit sharper. But Amesha Feinstein had rachmanis. I actually didn't go, because I had a shiur, Rav Soloveitchik that time. I felt that was more important than getting smicha from Amesha Feinstein. What would you have done? You don't know. I want to tell you a story about Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. This story I heard from Rav Nissim Alpert, his Talmud Muvok. Again, just sheds light on what Gedolei Yisrael are all about. There was a fellow who wrote a sefer against Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. I imagine you heard of the Igros Moshe. Those are the shells and truths of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And they became very popular. Matter of fact, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was once interviewed by the New York Times. They asked him, how did you become so popular? So he answered the following. Somebody asked me a question. I gave him an answer. He told his friend, you know, there's a rabbi who answered my question. So he asked me a question. I answered him too. He told another person. He asked me a question. I answered him also. They all liked my answers. And all of a sudden, the floodgates were open. That's why Moshe Feinstein, they rove an bisonuso with his unbelievable humility. That's how he thought. He became, shall we say, such a popular figure. Rabbi Soloveitchik said about Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, he would have been one of the Gedolei Ador 250 years ago, in the days of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That's what he said about Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, who was a cousin of his. So, there's a fellow who writes a sefer against the Igros Moshe. He takes issue with the Igros Moshe. It means he argues with a lot of Chumas. He took 300 Chumas of the Igros Moshe and argued with him across the board. The sefer was unbelievable. So I'm in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. I'm in a bookstore. And I see that sefer. I'm not going to tell you the name of the sefer or the name of the author. It might smack of a bit of Lashon Hara, and that's not my intention here. Chas v'shalom. So I see the sefer. And it's printed in exactly the same font as the Igros Moshe, same size, literally, identical. I'm about to buy it, and all of a sudden I see my Rebbe, I'm Nisim Albert Zatzal, the Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he tells me, don't you touch that. Don't touch that sefer. I said, why not? Isn't another copy of the Igros Moshe? No, that's not what it is. It's an attack on the Igros Moshe, but it's not just an attack. You can disagree with Rabbanim. You can disagree with rabbis. If you have legitimate arguments, when you learn a black Gemara, you can disagree with someone who has a shot here, you have a different shot, that's fine. But you know how he rests himself? He says about the person who wrote the Igros Moshe, he calls him Tipesh, Shaita, Pesi. You know what those words mean? You have some idea, Tipesh? How do you translate Tipesh? Foolish. Stupid. He calls the girl Ador such language. So I had a chance to read a little bit of the Sefer, and I saw that it had some pretty compelling arguments. But this kind of language on the girl Ador? How could someone write like that? The Sefer was muhram, was condemned. The Sefer was completely and totally eliminated from the shelves of all the bookstores. The Gdol Yisrael said no one could buy that Sefer, and I missed out on that Sefer. Don't worry, I have a copy of it. I have a section in my house with all the such Sfarim. I have a fair number of them. And I put them to Cheren, and I found ways of getting a hold of them. But that's not the story. The fellow, because of what he did, was condemned by all his contemporaries, was fired from his job. He was a big Rosh Hashiva. He was himself a titan, unbelievable Talmud Chacham, mind-boggling Talmud Chacham. You can see it from the Sefer. But they couldn't handle this kind of approach to the Gadol Hador, and he lost his job. And he went for a number of months without Parnassa, and one day he's offered a job. Again, as Rosh Hashiva. But they tell him that in order for us to give you a job, we want you to get an approbation, a haskama, from one of the Gadol Hador. So who does he go to get a haskama from? Rav Moshe Feinstein. The one that he, how shall we say, treated in a, not the ideal way. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes him a haskama of 3 pages, not a short haskama of 20 lines, which is what he usually did, because he wrote many, many haskamas, literally hundreds and hundreds of haskamas that Moshe wrote. He wrote haskamas to anyone who wrote a sefer because he loved Klal Yisrael. He wanted to be mechazik people, to strengthen them, to make them feel good about themselves, give them a sense of self-esteem. He writes here a 3-page haskama. So Rav Moshe's family is furious. What in heaven's name is he doing? This guy, what he did was absolutely beneath contempt. And now Rav Moshe writes him a 3-page haskama? What do you say? Aren't they right? What would you say? Aren't they right? I'm asking. You seem to have a lot of seichel. What would you say? Of course they're right. So Rav Moshe then responds. And let me tell you now the rest of the story. This fellow went to the same publisher who published Rav Moshe's Svarim and said, could you publish this Sefer? Against the Igros Moshe. The fellow starts looking at the Sefer. The one who publishes Rav Moshe's Svarim, he's the Talmud Chacham himself, the printer. He looks at it, he's horrified. Literally horrified. So I can't publish a Sefer. I can't. It's against the Gadol Hador. It's not that it's against the Gadol Hador, but the language that's used is absolutely inappropriate. I cannot publish it. He presses in and says, let me ask a Shiloh. Who does he ask a Shiloh? I go to Moshe Feinstein. He asked him, should I publish this Sefer? So Moshe said, why does he want it to be published? He said, Parnassa. Parnassa! Publish it. So he said, but Rebbe, how can I publish it with this kind of language? With this lack of respect, lack of civility? He said, Parnassa, you must publish it. So he published it. And that day that he published it, I'm in the bookstore, and I see it, and I'm ready to grab it, because it's another copy of the Ke'ilu. The Igros Moshe, which is not, it's the name is slightly changed. And then my Rebbe appears in the scene, doesn't let me buy it, and then it's put into Cheren, and that's the end. So they asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, what is going on here? This guy writes a Sefer which is defamatory, you're defamed, you're castigated, but in language which is absolutely beneath contempt. So Moshe Feinstein says, I don't know what you're talking about. Every night when I say Kriya Shema, what do I say? I assume he people here say Kriya Shema Lamita, which you should say. I say the first parasha, I say the bracha v'amapil, and then I make the following statement. Hineni Michael v'saleh dechol mishe hikdid osi v'tzir osi. I forgive everyone who caused me anguish or agmas nefesh. So I already forgave him months ago. The very same night that I saw the Sefer the first time, I already forgave him. However, it could be that maybe I might have some kindness against him because how he wrote about me. So therefore I wrote him a 3-page haskama. I heard this story. I was blown away. Because what I know about the greatness of Rav Moshe is his Torah knowledge and his brilliance. But clearly, there's much more than that. And that's what Torah actually is designed to bring a person to greatness. Not just greatness in terms of Torah knowledge and the like, but greatness primarily in terms of character, personality, tznius, anova, modesty. My Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper, told me that Moshe Feinstein used to say one major shiur a week on Friday morning for about 3 hours. There's a sefer called, you're probably familiar with the Igros Moshe, those are the shells and tshuvos of Moshe Feinstein. There's another sefer called Dibros Moshe, which has all the chidushim of Moshe Feinstein. That not too many people learn because it's very, very lengthy. And so Rav Moshe used to give that shiur on Friday morning. So my Rebbe told me he learned the Chavrusa, this Rav Nissim Alper, with Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein Shlita. He's the oldest son of Moshe Feinstein. Shalom Arichas Yom B'Shalom. He's a wonderful, outstanding person. I go to him once a year to ask him, steer us in the Igros Moshe. Ki Igol, there are contradictions. He always tells me, Rabbi David, there are no steers in my father's forum. What he wrote 70 years ago, he remembered 70 years later. It's probably true. He didn't forget anything. He was a genius, absolute genius. So what they used to do, they would learn all Thursday during the day, the entire day. You hear Rabbi Salzberger? The whole Thursday night. How many hours is that? All Thursday and all Thursday night? 15 to 20 hours, let's say. In the morning, they would go to the shiur on Friday morning, after davening, of course. They didn't skip davening. They would daven, eat breakfast, the shiur, then they would play handball. Anybody knows what handball is? Sometimes go swimming. And then go into Shabbos, have the meal, daven, and collapse. This is what I heard from Nissim Alper. So I said to myself, what? These two Gdoli Yisrael are playing handball? Going swimming? So I went to Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein. I asked him, is this story true? About Nissim Alper and yourself? And he told me every prat u prat is true. Every single minutia detail that you said over is completely true. Lamita shel Torah. The Gdolei Yisrael are very normal. They also play ball. Maybe not as good as you. I imagine you'll probably make some all-star basketball team. Is that where you're at? Not yet. Lapat. Got to practice a little bit. But the Gdolei Yisrael are very normal people. Of course, they're involved in the study of Torah in the most profound way. No doubt about it. However, they're very, very normal. My Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper, once took me to his house on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and he shows me a massive picture on the wall. He said, look at the picture, tell me what you see. What do I see? I see a convention. You know, all kinds of conventions in the Jewish world. I'm sure maybe you've gone to a few conventions. Maybe Madison Square Garden. Maybe in City Field, I don't know, wherever people go. And at this convention, there are there are hundreds and hundreds of people at this convention. And it's a religious convention, Torah convention of sorts. And there's a dais with multi levels, and then there are literally a massive floor with hundreds of tables and Jews sitting there. And then there's a speaker at the rostrum. So he tells me, look at the picture. What do you see? I said, what do I see? I see teeming masses of humanity. Happens to be Jews. He said, no, you missed it. What do you see? I continued looking at it. Teeming masses of humanity. What else is there? All kinds of Jews. With beards, with hats, without hats. Look more carefully. I didn't get it. You know, 20 questions. I missed the whole thing. And Father Danny explains to me, you know what's going on here? Take a look carefully. Sitting next to the speaker is Hagoyin of Moshe Feinstein Tzatzal. He's the only one who's listening to the speaker. Every single other person is occupied with something else. Some people are sleeping. Some people are learning. A few are talking to each other. Mind-boggling. Moshe Feinstein's got a lot of door. And this speaker was number 12. That's what my Rebbe told me. Number 12 at the rostrum. Imagine 12 consecutive speakers. What would you do? You would just shoot the guy. I don't blame you. Just put him out of our misery. What do we need this for? And you'd probably do your mitzvah. Not a tzicha. On the contrary, you're saving Klal Yisrael. And Amesha is, his ear is carefully cocked to the speaker. I was blown away by that. So Klal Yisrael, their godliness is not just in their learning prowess. Of course, that's undoubtedly a major aspect. But beyond that, their beauty of character is simply indescribable. And that's what Torah learning does for a person. It changes your character. The Gemara says in Brachas that, Halo ko dvarai ko eish nu mashem. The Torah is like fire. And fire cleanses, fire scourges, fire burns. Fire can transform a person, can transform their personality, can elevate them to incredibly high levels. There's a Gemara that I'm very fond of, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutes. The Gemara quotes a pasuk over there where the pasuk says in Mishlei, I think it's in Parakeh, Shesei mayim miborecha benozlim mitof be'erecha. Drink water from the bore and then mitoch be'erecha. So Chazal understood this pasuk as referring to a derech in Talmud Torah. How does a person become a Talmud Chacham? So you know that a bore and a be'er are two different sources of water. How do you translate a bore? A bore is a pit. A bore essentially is a pit which is, to a large extent, how does it receive water? It receives water from rain, from an overflow down the mountains, from snow that melts. That's essentially what a bore is. What is a be'er? How do you translate a be'er? A well. An indigenous well. A well that has its own spring, its own underground springs, and is able to produce water indigenously, on its own. So Chazal say, what should a person do if he wants to become a Talmud Chacham, which all of you want to become, Yitzhak Hashem, our tefillah and hope and prayers that every single person sitting in this room become an outstanding Ben Torah, and eventually Talmud Chacham, halavai? Dovah Yisrael, halavai, why not? We need Dovah Yisrael, like Avaron Soloveitchik, like Moshe Feinstein, and the others that I mentioned, Rav Nissim Malpitz, that's all. So the answer is, first, the person has to absorb a lot of Torah. And that is not a slow, not a simple process. So you have to learn Masechet Gittin. May not be the most exciting Masechta. B'fonai nichta, b'fonai nechta, nebuch, reiz, nia. How many blot is this going to go on? It's b'fonai nichta stuff. Daf beis, daf gimel, daf dalet, daf hey.
Enough!
Oh, they say in simple Yiddish, Genug Shein! But behind the funny Lichta, the funny Nechtam, and it's in every Masechta in Shas, there's a fire! But in order to get to that fire, first you have to absorb a lot of information, a lot of Torah. And once that happens, once you absorb a lot of Torah, the bor becomes full, and you know what happens after a while, after a number of years, the bor becomes a be'er, becomes a well. You yourself become an indigenous source of Mayim, of Torah, and the like. And that's the whole idea of learning in yeshiva. And especially in Eretz Yisrael, which has, as you undoubtedly are aware, a certain Kedusha, a certain Siyata Dishmaya that you have here, that you don't have anywhere else in the entire world. There's a Rebbe I'm very close to, HaGoyin Rav Avigdor Levinsohn Shlita, Shehashem Yarech Yomov. I developed the closest to him many, many years ago, about 19 years ago to be precise. I've been in Eretz Yisrael 25 years, and I decided I need someone, a rabbi, to talk to. So I looked around, but no one agrees with my hashkafa. I'm a bit convoluted. That is complicated. Many different aspects to me. I finally found Rabbi David Saul, the old city, the Eir Atika. I'm going to make him my Rebbe. So I go to visit him, knock on the door in the middle of the winter, and it was after the Chagim. I knock on his door. He opens up the door. I came around 11 o'clock, 11:30. Do you usually visit people at 11 o'clock, 11:30? But I'd like to stalk Dolly Yisrael. I'm into it in a serious way. So I come there 11 o'clock, 11:30. I told him I have some questions to ask him. He said, "Bivrit kabuvan." No problem. He starts answering my questions. It goes on for about 20 minutes. It is freezing. He's in his shirt sleeves, and I'm in my two sweaters, gloves, earmuffs, hat, coat, jacket, well protected from the elements. And as well, he says to me, "Rav David, tikanes, come in." I said, "And the Lord said, 'Atvicha tarav.' I don't want to bother the rabbi. Ki'ilu, I don't want to bother the rabbi. Of course, I want to bother him. Holds a mitzvah to bother him. Holds a chiyuv to bother him. I want to make his life crazy," which is what I do. So, this is 10 to 12. He says to me, "Hakei rega, wait a moment." He goes inside. 5 minutes later, he comes out. He put on his sweater, his jacket, his coat, his hat. He's got a sense of humor. Rabbi David Saul. He's trying to give me a hint. But as you can see already from the other stories, I don't have too much gray matter upstairs and don't get hints too well. Dial Hakim of Yemiza. And finally, I go into the house. I must have been there for a good hour. Maybe it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. Would you do something like that? You would not. You're a bad gentleman. You're an outstanding gentleman, obviously. All of you are. But I was doing my own thing. Once I saw he's such a nice person, I said to myself, I'm going to visit him more often. And that's what I did. And then there were times where I woke up in the middle of the night, I was bothered by something. I call him up. So one morning I call him up at 4 a.m. The problem was his wife, Aleha Shalom, answered the phone. She knew me too. She says, "Oh, David, yesh lecha shaon? Do you own a watch?" So I said, "Lo achshav." It wasn't in my hand at that moment in time. So she was trying to give me a hint. You call people up at 4 a.m. in the morning? You do not. Again, you're all respectable, outstanding young men. But that's how connected I became with him. It didn't bother me to call him up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Many years ago, I learned in Eretz Yisrael. In 1971-72, an yeshiva called Itri. And that yeshiva, which is in Yerushalayim, in Beit Tzfafa. So after Yom Kippur, some of the Israeli chevron in the yeshiva tried to convince me to make aliyah. I wasn't ready to make aliyah at that point in time. It wasn't my thing. So they told me, "Ask the Shaila of God of Atera." I said, "Who shall I ask?" They said, "There's a fellow named Rabbi Orbach. He lives in Yerushalayim, the Chavi area. Maybe you heard the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, like one of the Dolei Ador." So I go to his house, I knock on the door, and I say to him, he answers the door himself, day after Yom Kippur. I say, "Im ze habayit shel Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? Is this the house of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach?" So he tells me, "Korin li, Abba ve'ima, koru li Shlomo Zalman." My mother and father called me Shlomo Zalman. I still didn't get it. I said, "Abanim chavis, harav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach." So he says, "That's me." I go into his house. I must have been there, I'm not joking, an hour and 15 minutes. I asked him every silly, stupid, foolish question that one could possibly find probably in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. But what did I know? Sure, I wasn't 13. I was a bit older. Ubechozov! He answers every question. After a half hour, conversation is not over. I says to him, "You got something to eat? I'm hungry." I said to the girl Ador. He says, "What do you like?" I said, "Chocolate rugelach." I took a liking to chocolate rugelach. So he says to me in Hebrew, "Ani lo yodea meshri kailu." So I was about to tell him that maybe he should look. I didn't tell him that though. He went looking for chocolate rugelach and he finds chocolate rugelach for me. He puts him on a plate. And I make a bracha and eat the entire plate right in front of him. "I'm an American bracha. What do you want from me? I'm hungry." Every 10 minutes we get hungry. Anyway, so another half hour passes, and now I'm thirsty. I said, "Does he got something to drink here?" He said, what do you like?
Hot tea with lemon.
He says, hot tea I can make. He's got this old chinik. You know what a chinik is? How do you translate that? A kettle. You know those old kettles that make those noises? But lemon, I don't know if I have. So what does he do? I'll go to my next door neighbor, my shochet, and see if they have lemon. The gadol hador goes to bring this runt, punk, I don't know what to call him, maybe even worse, and brings me hot tea with lemon. So this is how I fell in love with Gadol Yisrael. Just to give you a sense of where I'm coming from. Not because of their greatness in Torah. That came a little bit later. When I got some seichel, you already have it, so you don't have to worry about that. But it took a bit longer to come to that point in time. But I saw the beauty of their personalities. I saw how you can connect with them, how accessible they are, how fine they are, how wonderful they are. And going back to Rav Nebenzahl, he is a Talmud Muvok of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He doesn't even call him Rav Shlomo Zalman. He calls him Maran Harav because of the respect that he has for him. Unbelievable derech eretz. So Rav Nebenzahl, I developed a connection with him, kimat almost 19 years. He recently remarried. His wife passed away several years ago. So I asked him, Harav, can I come to the wedding? It was a private wedding. What in heaven am I doing there? He said, well, it's only for family. So I said, I'm mishpacha. I'm like family. Exactly. Anyway, it's amazing that every yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael has wonderful Talmidei Chachamim. Torah Shraga has outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. Now, I'm slightly biased, I agree, since I hired them. Slightly biased, but we have an exceptional faculty, according to my humble opinion. The only one who's not so exceptional is Rosh Hashiva, but all the others are exceptional, and they're people that you should connect with. You have a chance to become attached to outstanding Talmidei Chachamim and Bnei Torah. Not only the Talmidei Chachamim, but they're also beautiful personalities. We have quite a collection. And they differ from each other. It's not a homogeneous group. It's rather heterogeneous in many, many respects. I don't know if you realize that. You'll get to know it after a little while. Stalk them! You know what it means to stalk them? How do you translate stalk? Follow them. Pester them. Make their lives miserable. I mean in a thorough way. You'll be able to absorb from them unbelievably. That's the reason why you're here in Eretz Yisrael, to really become Bnei Torah, outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. I'll just end with the following. Over the years, people ask me why you believe in God. So I took several courses in philosophy. So if you want to discuss with me philosophic approaches, I'm ready to do that. But that's not the reason why I believe in God. There are two reasons why I believe in God. Last year, a young man from Shad Aleph asked me, he's not here anymore, he asked me, why do I believe in God? I said, I'll tell you why. Because Trump was elected president of the United States. How in heaven's name do you elect such a... Just fill in the blanks. I won't go any further. I voted for every president since I'm here, 25 years, with the exception of Trump. I couldn't vote for him. I can't vote for people who are... off the deep end. I just couldn't do it. 2020, I'm going to vote for him. Don't you worry about it. But there's another reason why I believe in God. Because only God, an act of God, could have brought him into the White House. Nothing else could possibly have done that. You know why the second reason I believe in God? Because I saw Moshe Feinstein, Rav Nissim Alpert, Harav Soloveitchik, the Baron Halevi Soloveitchik. I saw Gadol Yisrael. Such individuals with their luster and their incredible scintillating brilliance can only come about with Yad Hashem. So I'm just suggesting to you, you're in a yeshiva, great Talmidei Chachamim, you're in Eretz Yisrael, the Makom Kadosh, a chance to connect to Hashem Yisbarach through Torah, even through Mefanei Nichta and Mefanei Nechta, through Gittin, and through other Mesechtes, Miyas Hashem. Take advantage of this, and Be'ez Hashem, you should all become outstanding Bnei Torah and Yirei Hashem. Amen.
Thank you.